make it, do it. Makes us harder, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right. Comes back to the left. Going long for Gordon. He's out there. And he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown!
Well, unbelievable catch. Unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
Just over 48 hours away, the speculation will be over, and we will know who the Cleveland Browns have picked in the first round of the 2014 NFL Draft. And by the way, speculation running rampant here as we inch closer, the smoke billowing from cities around this great country as teams posture and get ready for this draft, and a draft that we are all very excited to have come very, very soon. Nathan Zagura, along with my man, the notorious VIC, Vic Carucci, our last show in Cleveland this week, and then we head to the Big Apple to get right in the heart of Draft Central, notorious.
We got our first road trip together going to
Manhattan
for that. Very excited about that. Yeah, it's going to be fun. As much as this draft has dragged on, those 2 extra weeks, I still think are not a great thing, and I've got a piece posted on ClevelandBrowns.com quoting Bruce Allen, the general manager of the Washington Redskins, who said, look, if it was up to the teams, we never would have wanted this moved 2 weeks later from a team perspective. And he said it'll be interesting to see how that affects draft boards. He said it'll be kind of exciting, and I think that's the flip side of this. As much as it's been prolonged, I think it's, of course, made the anticipation, the anxiety we all have, heighten that to huge levels. Ohio Business Machine's hot topics of the day. Peter King, in his mock draft, has the Browns with three, count them, three first-round picks. And in that situation, the Browns would move down. So are you okay with that? 216-578-0850. We want to hear from you on that. And the Johnny rumors just never, ever stop, Nathan.
They won't stop. John Football linked to this organization by just about everybody in the world right now. Chris Mortensen said yesterday, if he's there, the Browns will jump on him. He then came on our great channel, ESPN 850 WKNR, to say that actually there is, you know, could be Johnny Manziel, it could be Greg Robinson, or it could be a trade down, which is basically way to go and cover the scenarios there. We're happy about that. He did cover the scenarios, but certainly interesting. Now, what I thought was the most fascinating thing in the Peter King draft, there were a couple things. Number one, Khalil Mack goes first overall to Houston. Number two, Clowney is there at 4 for the Browns, who move from 4 to 6 and pick up a third-round pick, not a second-round pick. I thought that part of it was interesting. And then the Browns trade back in and get Xavier Suafilo to be that guard. And when you look at what the net-net of what they get out of his draft, Mike Evans, okay, I'm fine with that. Blake Bortles at 26.
Obviously,
you're pretty good with that. And then you go ahead and you get Xavier Suafilo, the guard from UCLA. Now, you would have three third-round picks under this scenario where you would probably go ahead and get your corner or maybe two there, but you would have addressed guard, one of the biggest needs. You would have addressed wide receiver, one of the biggest needs, and you would have addressed quarterback, the biggest need in this draft, and you would be still getting the guy. And this is what's interesting about this scenario to me, why I'm okay. I kind of like what has played out here. Obviously, quarterback, as long as you get one of the three, you're fine. But getting Suafilo is interesting because a lot of the talk is about getting Greg Robinson, and a lot of the talk about Greg Robinson is having him play guard early in his career.
Right.
So you're getting the guy who's played guard, who is the number one rated guard on the board at a much lower level, still getting a dominant receiver and a dominant quarterback, which I don't think you'd have necessarily the same talent level if you went a different way with Robinson and then the receiver that you got that would be below Evans.
Yeah, again, any scenario that has the Browns addressing what you and I both feel are high on the list of, say, top five needs, I am good with that, and I'm good with really multiple quarterback choices here, because I'll say it for the zillionth time, the grading I have on these guys isn't such that one is that far ahead of the others. I do have Bortles again at the top. I'm sticking strongly to that, but I'm not averse to the idea that if they decided that a Teddy Bridgewater falls into this scenario or a Derek Carr somewhere in the lower area,
Theodore,
of those three, I'm feeling good. I will stay adamant that I don't see Johnny Manziel, as others do, as this elite guy. And really, isn't he the whole point in terms of the disagreement over the quarterback position, not just Manziel, but how the view of him has really, I think, taken the whole quarterback perspective and put it in basically two categories. Either there's an elite quarterback worthy of a top five pick because you believe Manziel's that guy, or there isn't because you don't believe Manziel's that guy, and frankly, no one else falls into that category either. The only quarterback now that anyone is really discussing with any enthusiasm is Johnny Manziel, and that enthusiasm could be love him, gotta have him, or hate the possibility of this guy being on this team because it's all a sideshow and it's not substance, it's not football. And then the other guys are just sort of overshadowed. Blake Bortles, once thought to be the top pick of the draft, you don't hear his name mentioned hardly at all.
Is he still in this draft?
Is he still in the draft? Teddy Bridgewater, I don't know what he's doing for a living. Apparently it's not playing football, but he's been talked right out of the round, and you know, incredible the way the conversation, the narrative has changed.
No question about that, and that I think part of the product of all this extra time. I do want to give some props to my man Theodore for honoring a promise he made to his mother in third grade, buying her a pink Cadillac that he delivered to her today.
That's sweet.
Yeah, it's awesome.
No, it is.
This guy can't lead a team. Give me a break. Theodore Bridgewater, a tip of the cap to you, mon frere. I'll tell you what. It is interesting, and to me, really, the question when you think about this, when you think about the trade down, when you think about taking Robinson or taking a quarterback at four, no matter who it is what is the philosophy? What is the overriding strategic principle that's going to guide this organization in the Ray Farmer, Mike Pettin era? Is it let's put together a very strong team and hope we can find a gem at quarterback later or insulate that quarterback with the strength of our team? Or do we say, let's change the narrative about the Cleveland Browns, let's get that franchise quarterback for the first time in forever, and that really is going to be the question that will really, to me, that's the most interesting question that can be answered tomorrow, on Thursday, 2 days from now. What is the philosophy? Is it build the best team around the quarterback, see what happens, or is it about literally saying, we need that quarterback to guide this franchise into the future?
Everything we need to know about the philosophy, the future of this football team under Ray Farmer and under Mike Pettin.
It's great. We're going to get a quick answer.
We're going to know with the fourth overall pick because that will say it. And it's mainly because what position is addressed there. It's not about the name, more about the position.
Totally. And if my point exactly.
Right, they go quarterback, everything you just said about that, and you've picked that guy. This is the future. You're going to build around this guy. You're going forward with your foundational guy that this team hasn't had in forever. And if you don't do it, you're trusting that the rest of your football team will be at least solid enough for you to be competitive, to buy you time, and see what you have if that guy is Brian Hoyer. But mainly, I still think that guy is someone. There are going to be more than one quarterback on this football team. And by the way, I'm not just referring to Vince Young or Tyler Thigpen whoever else,
Alex Tanny.
I don't even know their names anymore because I don't think their names are going to be at some point totally relevant to what this team is going forward. That isn't the quarterback depth chart that I envision. I do see Brian Hoyer on it. I don't know if he's as a starter or a backup, but that quarterback depth chart will be configured in some way, shape, or form with maybe other people being added from outside the team. I'm talking non-draft, definitely in the draft, but where in the draft if it's not number four? Because if it's not number four, then I do think it's a resounding statement that, as you said, we're going to try to get a guy that we can be propped up by most of the rest of the team. It's not about he's the guy for the future. Now, how the rest of us perceive that will be a whole different thing. If he's picked at 26, we're going to say, well, that is the quarterback of the future, just as at 22nd Brandon Whedon was picked back in 2012. He was the franchise guy at 22nd, and now he's no longer here.
Right. The difference is you don't know who you're going to get at 26. If the scenarios play out as people expect, at number four, the Browns will have their pick of the quarterbacks in this draft, and that's where it signals the philosophy. Now, if they have the intel that says, listen, as you said, the quarterbacks are bunched closely in your grades, there's going to be someone there for them at 26 that they feel can be that same guy, not that big of a difference from the guy at four, I'm okay with that as well. But to me, if you make the statement that you need that guy, taking him at four is the strongest way to make that statement. And there are people. So here's a question. At Cleveland Sports Guy just tweeted, Nathan, why don't you think Hoyer is a viable long-term quarterback option? And my answer is this. First of all, I would say that I think I'm as optimistic about Hoyer as anybody. Would you agree with that, Vic? You think that
I do think you have a lot of probably a little more than I do, but I'm not down on the idea of Brian Hoyer being the starter of this team. I just need more proof. I just haven't seen it. He's going to have to do more for me with a greater body of work than perhaps his limited body work has done for you so far.
But at the same point, I don't. If you were to ask me today what is the most important need on this team, I still believe it's quarterback. I think that Brian Hoyer or a later picked quarterback still has a long way to go, in my opinion, to be thought of as one of the top 16 quarterbacks in the NFL. And to me, that is the point of demarcation for whether or not this Browns team can get to and win a Super Bowl. I think that you can get to the playoffs probably with a guy who maybe isn't top 16, but that, to me, is the point of demarcation. If you have a quarterback in the top half of the league, you're always going to have a very good shot at getting where you need to get. And you can, it's been proven, win the whole thing.
And I'll go along with that, but I think we are a long way from knowing if Brian Hoyer is that guy.
Correct.
And we certainly can't even, I won't even begin to take a stab and say that there's a top half of the quarterback talent in this draft. You're going to pick the guy likely in the first round, or teams will make quarterback picks in the first round if it isn't the Browns, with the idea that you hope that that guy's that, but those are two different issues. Where you pick the guy and what he actually ends up proving, if he's a top half of the league kind of guy, I mean, there's so much you've got to see. There's so much that I think has to be accomplished in the course of not just the right coaching, the right system, what he's surrounded by, how things go, what the progress line is, and on a football team that has so many questions to address, where you don't know, why do we look at this draft with such intrigue? Because the Browns have a minimum of five spots that would be considered huge need areas. Five. That's a lot.
And to me, right tackle isn't one of them. That's why the Robinson discussion becomes interesting. And that's one where you would say, okay, this is clearly, if they take Greg Robinson at four, if the Browns take Greg Robinson at four, I think you can say that unequivocally that Ray Farmer subscribes to the best player on the board theory, and that would be the reason they take Robinson, because he has the highest grade on their draft board. Again, going back to Brian Hoyer in this quarterback discussion, why I think it's the biggest thing. To me, you're looking at a situation where you need to get that position in the top half of the league. And I asked people this yesterday, too, and pretty much everybody's unanimous. If you threw Greg Robinson on last year's Cleveland Browns team, do they win any extra games?
Probably not. Probably not.
Maybe. I mean, maybe, yeah. One. If you throw a top half of the league quarterback on last year's team, they're winning significantly more games.
And one who stays healthy?
Yes, and plays the season.
In other words,
yes.
He's not one of three who play?
If they got the 16th best quarterback play in the league for the course of the season,
third start,
they would, in my opinion, have been a significantly better team and had an opportunity to...
There's such a variable with that, because it's fair to those who, you know, and I just remember what last year, how it unfolded with Brian Hoyer, just to think about the what-if factor. But I think a lot of folks got carried away with what-if. What if he wasn't hurt in that third game, and what would last year have looked like? Would that have changed everything, including which coaching staff was here, including what administration was here? You know, all the injuries affect everything.
Of course.
And the dynamic of how that changed and how that came to pretty much a screeching halt, and then it was fits and starts at the quarterback position after that, and a true disaster. Simply with your question in the simplest form, probably leads to more wins, but leads to more wins without any running game, leads to more wins with a defense that's going to break down at the end of the year. I just think there are too many other areas that were troubling about this football team that I don't know that quarterback would solve. Quarterback will make things better, but when I think about what the quarterback need is now, I'd like to think about it in a context that the rest of the football team is better already than it was a year ago, or has a chance to be, and then this is the piece that you need to, again, go where you're trying to go.
In my mind, this team is going to be better and is better right now already than it was a year ago. with the addition of Ben Tate, Andrew Hawkins, and the big additions on the defensive side of the ball, Carlos Dansby, Dante Whitner. When you look at the influx of talent that this team's going to bring in as well, there's no question that the roster, regardless of what if they do a quarterback, is going to be better at every other position. Brian Hoyer for a full season, you would hope and think, and I believe, would be better than what you got last year from Campbell, Whedon, and the two games of Hoyer combined over the course of the 16 games. The real question becomes to me, how much upgraded is that roster, and is it, in your mind, upgraded enough that you say now clearly, knowing with all the talent, in the deepest draft in the NFL in 30 years, that the one piece that we really need to get over the hump is to get that quarterback. And if we can do that at number four, if there's a guy we have conviction about, let's do it. That'll be the interesting takeaway from this, is how they feel about the quarterbacks and how they feel about the philosophy of getting that franchise quarterback versus building the rest of the roster. Because in my mind, the rest of the roster is going to be built significantly after this draft, and already has been built significantly, in my opinion, over the course of this offseason. So basically what we want to know from you here coming up very soon, what do you want it for? What's the philosophy you'd like to see guiding this organization? And we'll get the answer to that on Thursday, as we know. We also want to hear from our Browns backers. Where are you? Who do you want? What's going on? Where are you sending your good vibes from right now? We got the hashtag BrownsGoodKarma going out there, and you can tweet at Browns_daily with that hashtag BrownsGoodKarmas. We're sending out the good vibes and being positive about the Cleveland Browns, and also the trade down scenario. Yep. What do you think about that?
You brought up, again, Browns fans, rabid support. Brian Wine, his name is Brian, B-R-Y-O-N, Brian Wine, he's a Brown season ticket holder. He won the right to do the following. He'll be walking our first-round pick jerseys out to the commissioner, there's two first-round picks if they're both picked. That's right, he gets to do both of them. It's one guy who gets to handle both jerseys. The number one pick jerseys from the Browns to the commissioner on the podium in Manhattan at Radio City Music Hall. He's going to do that. And he will join us at 1:50 to get his thoughts on that. We'll do the Blitz today. We're going to go around the AFC North, do our draft preview edition of that. And Matt Miller from Yahoo NFL Draft, he's the lead writer for Yahoo
from
NFL
Bleacher
Draft.
Report.
Excuse me, it is Bleacher Report. That's right. I think he worked. Did he work at Yahoo previously?
I'm not sure.
But he's definitely with Bleacher Report now. And Matt is going to join us at 2:30. And his Twitter handle, by the way, at NFL Draft Scout, is joining us. So we look forward to that. We look forward to hearing from you. 216-578-0850. Vicarucci, Nathan Zagura. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. We are driven by Liberty Ford.